Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more than table. So many times we give them rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here.
Oh!
How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
This is a good question that deserves solid answers, because we may face one of these situations here in the very short future. And that is, what happens when you have a candidate that is running for the president of this country withdraw or die or fall ill and not be able to serve this position or get in trouble before this election is over? There's a lot of, you know, red tape connected to a lot of this, because as with many different laws out there that the higher ups know about, they use the loopholes and they keep everyone else out. But in this process, the election process, where it takes the people's involvement, obviously, the people need to be up to speed with what can happen here, because a few different things can go down. This has to do with timing. Okay, if you start to work backwards in time, let's say, what happens if the winner of the election either dies or withdraws after Congress has counted the votes? And this is counting the votes from the Electoral College in January. But what happens if they die or withdraw or any of the things I've stated? And this happens after they make these, they count them, but before this person presumes office. So after the end of January, they've counted all the votes. What happens if, say, Clinton goes down? What would happen? Well, the first part is easy. If a president-elect dies before assuming office, then the 20th Amendment resolves this problem directly. It says that the vice president, which would be Kane in Hillary's instance, or Pence in Trump's, they would become president. Now, the 20th Amendment only specifically addresses the death of a president, not the voluntary withdrawal of a president or them getting in trouble and not being able to run. Presumably, a president-elect who wanted to withdraw could wait until January 20th and do it then. At that point, Article 2 in the 25th Amendment make it clear that the vice president would become president. So what happens if this takes place instead after the Electoral College has voted in December, but before Congress formally receives the counts? This is where things start to get a little unclear, because it states here that if the person who wins the Electoral College vote is considered the president-elect even before they officially receive all the counts, then they say that the answer is the same in the previous, that the vice president would receive this. But legally, it would not be clear whether someone is the president-elect before Congress formally receives and counts the votes of the electors in January. If the winner of the November election and in the December Electoral College tally is not considered the president-elect and dies before January, then no clear legal answer is given by the Constitution or by statute. Now, this is where things... So how about if the winner of the November election dies or withdraws before the Electoral College meets in December? Now, this is where it gets even messier. They state here, the issue is how an elector should or can cast their votes. Should the elector vote for the dead winner of the election, or if the elector otherwise should be obligated to choose somebody else? A lot of times this falls back to the vice president. But as you keep going through these scenarios, and you get to the scenarios that are finally closer to us, as to what happens if right after Election Day, right after the 4th, before anything can be counted or anything like that, what happens then? It leaves the scenario people are talking about at the moment. What if a party's nominee dies or withdraws before November elections? Here, within the coming week or something happens. This is where it gets even murkier, and this is where they talk about the DNC and the RNC. They would come together and they would choose, but it does not spell out the rules. It does not spell out the process. It does not spell out anything besides the fact that they're going to get together and they're going to choose someone to replace. Now, the RNC would be put in the same situation, their body being smaller, but that is basically how it is shaking out. At the moment, when you try to figure out what would happen from here, if one of these people was to not be in the race, which way would they go? The latter, you know, the later we go into this whole thing, it all shifts toward a vice president. But it gets very murky when you track back basically to this point all the way up to Election Day, or right around Election Day and everything. It's going to take time for them to count, so that window is the murkiest, and it really has a lot of questions still there as to what would really happen, because if they're going to get together, they can choose somebody, and the question is then who? Would a true dark horse come out of the shadows at the very last moment for something? It's a possibility, given that window of time. But I just wanted to throw it out there. There's more information here. The key's in on this. You can read this whole article, get a feel for what they're saying here. And most of the time, like I said, it will shift back to the vice president. But, you know, I pay attention to the details in this. It's first off, okay, what are they trying to key in on here? Is there anything hidden or are they hinting at? And at the bottom, they say, well, if you choose a party, they say, let's just say Democrat. For whatever reason, they chose the Democrat. I look at these little signs that are ticker taped out there that you need to pay attention to. But an interesting read, to say the least. And if things change, I will obviously update with more information. Make sure to check out a recent sponsor here. For those of you out there looking to stock up on insulin, heart medication, any kind of medical supplies out there without a prescription or going through a doctor, having or wanting to get something more than a 30-day supply, and to do so before it all hits the fan. That's why I chose to go through these guys. They're there if you guys need them. And like I said, given this environment, we never really truly know what's going to be going down. All I can say from my heart is that I do feel throughout this process, they're going to have some things set to go down. We're in that window till the end of January, till someone officially takes the spot. And once again, these are the steps of what would happen if anything happens between now and then.
Donald Trump spending this final Saturday before Election Day in Florida, North Carolina, Nevada, and Colorado, while Hillary Clinton ran into some rain in the critical Sunshine State today before a campaign event tonight with pop star Katy Perry in Pennsylvania. Here are both candidates at stops within the past hour. When your kids and grandkids ask you what you did in 2016, when it was all on the line, I want you to be able to say, I voted for a better, fairer, stronger America where everybody has a chance at the American dream.
We didn't bring any so-called stars along. We didn't need them. You know, the reason Hillary has to do that is nobody comes for her deal. She can't fill a room. We can get stars. We don't need them because we just want to make America great again, and we know what to do.
We have a packed lineup on deck tonight, including Donald Trump Jr. just minutes away. But before he makes his closing argument, I want you to hear my opening statement. This is the most important election of your lifetime. And whether you like Hillary Rodham Clinton or Donald J. Trump doesn't matter. There is only one person you can vote for. We cannot have a country led by a president subject to ongoing criminal investigations, potential indictment, and never-ending hearings. We cannot have a president under that level of scrutiny that inevitably leads to even more questions and more investigations. And irrespective of what happens to her, whether she's indicted or even guilty, it doesn't matter. Her guilt is a moot point. She cannot take the Oval Office. Now, in any other business, when the head of a corporation is plagued by scandal, that person steps down and is replaced because the board knows a business cannot succeed without respect and authority. How do you think the world is going to look at the United States when a woman under federal criminal investigation who's lied repeatedly to the American people is elected? Do you think they'll take her at her word? How many countries already own her through the Clinton Family Charitable Foundation, which was used to raise a minimum of $100 million just for her husband, Bill? How many countries like Morocco own her because they gave $12 million for 5 minutes with Bill? Just think, we can have our own world joke, like Bunga Bunga, Prime Minister Berlusconi, under constant investigation while in office, and then sentenced to prison. Why, when just this week we are faced with threats of a cyber attack on Election Day, not to mention the constant threat of another terror attack on U.S. soil, when Obamacare premiums in some states are higher than mortgages, would we put someone in the job who is distracted and not focused, not to mention a little woozy? We need a commander-in-chief focused on daily briefings, not one who, along with her staff, is worried about her and her spouse's investigation and what leverage can be used to shut that investigation down, worried about what vulnerabilities they have or whether they are being blackmailed or extorted. The only winners there are the blackmailers and the president. We are the pawns in a case like that. You and I are the ones who would pay the price. Now, I don't know how old you are, but I personally can't take another chapter of Clinton scandals. The Rose Law Firm, Cattle Futures, Travelgate, Monica Gate, the McDougals, a husband and a wife, both of whom would rather go to jail than testify against the Clintons, and people dying of all kinds of things along the way. Impeachment. And folks, I haven't even gotten to the 21st century. The woman has a propensity to lie about anything and to forget virtually everything. It's hogwash that 20% of our uranium is sold to the Russians, thanks to the Clintons. Our Department of Justice has already been corrupted by Bill Clinton, and now brazenly, the target of that criminal investigation, Hillary, announces that she'll keep Loretta Lynch as her AG should she become president. And if you are tired of this cesspool of corruptibles and visits from the ghosts of the Clintons' past, then you simply don't have a choice. She is a woman guilty of bad judgment over and over. What makes you think her judgment is going to get better, or that she's going to work for you, or even think about you with the sword of justice at her throat? Guilty or not guilty, she is a woman who is neither capable nor worthy of leading our great nation. And if you think it's time we hire a person for the Oval Office who is proud of America, who believes in law and order, who believes that our vets take priority over illegal immigrants, that open borders present a danger to us, then it's time to make fair trade deals, who sees us as a sovereign nation, who is proud of us and our American history, who will work on making us rich instead of herself or her family, then it's time to vote for the person who believes in the Constitution, the only one who will bring change, who is willing to roll up his sleeves, who will put in the time, has both the energy and the clarity, the one who doesn't give a darn about political correctness, the one who knows how to create jobs, and yes, the one who wants to make America great again. You've got 72 hours. It's up to you.
Criminals are trying to steal the White House before they're exposed and sent to prison. How are they doing this? Well, any and all manner of election fraud, voter fraud. They have to steal the White House. Obama goes on TV and tells illegals it's okay for illegal aliens to vote.
Of the millennials, dreamers, undocumented citizens, and I call them citizens because they contribute to this country, are fearful of voting. So if I vote, will immigration know where I live? Will they come for my family and deport us?
Not true.
Okay.
And the reason is, first of all, when you vote, you are a citizen yourself, and there is not a situation where the voting rolls somehow are transferred over and people start investigating, etc. The sanctity of the vote is strictly confidential.
I can't believe I heard what I heard. The president's even questioning whether the person who is an illegal is voting, outside of reminding people that if you're a citizen, you vote. But it's very clear that the question is being asked was about illegals voting and afraid that they might be reported to border security. You're illegal. You cannot vote. And the President of the United States is saying, don't worry, no one will be spying on you, catching you. When maybe, whether you're for the President, against the President, whether you're pro-immigration reform, anti-immigration reform, you are ignoring the fact that you've been questioned about illegal voting, which you can't do. Why? Because you're not a citizen of this country.
So Obama just told these guys, don't worry, sneak over the border, and then vote. The government won't come looking for you. Nobody will bother you or arrest you, even though you're an illegal alien voting in America, where you don't even belong. You know who's an illegal alien? You know who's illegal? Obama, as I prove right here. He's got a forged 9-layer birth certificate that's not even a birth certificate, and a stolen Social Security number. Why are they doing this? Well, who else are they bringing in? Not just from Mexico. They're trying to transform us into a Sharia law nation. Meanwhile, Bernie voters got robbed at the primary. They are fighting mad. Bring Bernie voters when you vote. They are pissed off. Also, I show you in detail how to catch these illegal aliens on camera and get hard evidence that they are going from polling place to polling place. Hard evidence to prove vote fraud. This is my video, Stop Vote Fraud, How to Protect Your Vote. Watch it right here at Barry Sotoro.com. channel. Don't forget to subscribe. Bring a camera on Election Day. Keep your distance from the polls, but catch these scumbags on camera. And remember, your rights come from God. They don't come from a pack of scum, pervert, crooked politicians. But those crooked politicians are trying to take your rights away. You got to get out. You got to get the neighbors out. And you have to vote.
All right, folks, this is huge break. This is what I've been telling you was coming. Pay attention. This is the most serious breaking deal story, end of the world. Here it is. This is the beginning. This is where the 800-pound tiger gets cornered in the room. And what does an 800-pound tiger do when it's cornered? It turns on you. That's what happens. Now, here we go. Breaking. The FBI just found out that Huma Abedin said that Obama's been complicit. Now let's listen.
Today, take a look.
Look, one of the key things we learned in the FBI interviews known as 302s came from Clinton aide Huma Abedin. She told the FBI investigators that every time Hillary Clinton's personal address changed, they would update the White House so that the president could continue receiving Hillary Clinton's emails on his high security devices, including his BlackBerry. And the reason that matters is that that is evidence that goes to knowledge of the White House, of this personal system, and the changing addresses. So this is something where the president and the White House clearly have a horse in the race and a stake in the outcome.
Okay, so now let me explain to you. That's called treason. Okay, that means the president and Hillary Clinton knew that the private server and they was their deal. They knew they had government secrets that got our people killed overseas. There was people that didn't get away that when this information was taken by foreign countries, whatever covert things that were going on from our country, people didn't make it. People were killed. They're responsible for the deaths of our people. They lied to the American public. Now they're cornered. I told you. Now, listen again. Here's another thing from Morning Joe. Listen very carefully.
I don't want to meddle. I just wonder, though.
Wow.
Because when they were saying what a great man he was, wow, and how much integrity he had, was that meddling as well? I'm curious.
Well,
dead serious.
I've got to say, I have absolutely no idea how Barack Obama has the audacity, and I will say the audacity, to make those statements.
Because he's the Antichrist.
The Journal points out this morning, and I remember, and you remember very well, he came out in November while FBI agents were still gathering evidence before they had all the evidence in their hands. He said in 2015 there was nothing here to see, that she had not done anything that would cause any problems to national security. He not only said that, I believe in October of 2015, he doubled down as the chief law enforcement officer in America and undercutting the FBI investigators again. And I think it was the spring of 2016, so much so that the New York Times wrote an article earlier this year saying that he had angered a lot of FBI agents and investigators by trying to step in without any evidence, without knowing anything about the case at all, and draw his own conclusions and try to influence the outcome of the case. So there may be, Mika, some actors with clean hands here that could come out and criticize James Comey for what he did, for not acting on innuendo and not right, all the information. But President Obama, and the record is very clear on this point, is the last person in the world to cast aspersions in that realm, because he has been the worst of all actors in his position and the most irresponsible from the start, and trying to influence an investigation that he knew very little about.
Okay, so now, let me show you where this really goes. Okay, now pay attention. Pay attention. Y'all remember this White House Correspondents' Dinner? 2012?
If I do win a second term as president, let me just say something to all the Let me just say something to all my conspiracy-oriented friends on the right who think I'm planning to unleash some secret agenda. You're absolutely right.
You're watching it. You're watching his secret agenda to kill everybody. You want me to prove it? Obama plans a red wedding. You know what a red wedding is? You shut the doors and you kill everybody. Okay, here's the thing. I'm going to post this video right now. Come back and watch the next video. It's going to be 30, 40 minute video after this. I just want this one out right away. The tiger is cornered. The tiger is cornered. He will have to turn on you now. Pay attention. This is where it goes down. He's been implicated. Now is when the monster turns. Get ready, people. Better make your peace with God. Because this next video I show you will prove what's about to happen to everybody in the United States. We're all about to.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. This is probably going to be one of the most important shows the Knights of the Round Table's ever done. I don't even know where to start. If you want to join in on the conversation, jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. And, wow. Waiting around for some of the knights to show up, but, essentially, we're right there. We're at the edge. We're at the crossroad. We are, we're screwed, literally. There's no other way to say it but that. We're screwed. If you jump over there to Super Chat, I posted multiple videos, everything from accusations coming from both sides of Russia and the United States of America of hacking into infrastructure and power grids and so on and so forth. Everything from election fraud to scandal to death of candidate for presidential election. There's even a touch of I watched a several in the process of studying up on all the different conspiracy theories and things out there. Several different red flags that you see, like this supposed attempted assassination of Trump, which to me, whether it is or isn't, it just didn't feel right. It felt like it was scripted. It felt like it was a for the benefit of the people kind of thing. But as I'm listening to Trump, and believe me, I'm wanting to vote for Trump because I think that I don't want Hillary in office, but I'm falling into the same trap that I feel like the majority of the people of America have fell into, that it may just be a case of this is the biggest dog and pony show, and essentially Hillary Clinton, who is indeed corrupt beyond a shadow of a doubt, but she's going to be the sacrificial goat or slash lamb or whatever, that basically they throw her under the bus and they elect the candidate Donald Trump, whatever. But as I'm watching his speech and thinking back about all the different conspiracy videos, I'm watching him do what some people classify as an Illuminati style sign hand signal while he's talking, and he does it like three times in a row, which essentially is like, holding your hand in like the okay deal, and you do that like three times, and it's supposed to symbolize 666, which is the mark of the beast. Now take it out how you want it, whatever the case may be, it's still when you're looking, when you're stepping back and you're looking at the overall big picture and you're watching all this play out, you can't just discard any symbolism or anything said. You have to be able to discern between what's fact and what's fiction, and so on and so forth. Otherwise, you get skewed in your view of what is the truth. And in reality, what all we the people want is the truth. We want a candidate who's going to tell us the truth, who's going to do what he says, who's going to take care and not get us in war and do all the kind of stuff there. But if this is one massive psychological operation that has occurred throughout the history of America, and it's just this is just another play for power and to keep the elite of the world in power, and then a whole lot of people are falling for it. And there's enough skepticism and enough distrust of the government and the agencies out there that we are literally standing at the very edge of the great abyss, and we're only on one toe. And that's a fact. At any given moment, this big giant firecracker that we're standing on could literally ignite and explode into complete and utter chaos. So my warning to people out there in this election cycle and in the world in general is, if there was ever a time in history to be eternally vigilant and pay attention to every single detail of your general day, of what's going on during election time, going to the polls, watching for corruption, anything out of the ordinary, just be on your toes is all I can say. Because what we've got going on here in this country is indeed not just going to affect this country, but it's going to affect the world as a whole. You know, this whole thing back and forth between Russia and America, you know, Russia making it known that, yeah, we got our missiles ready to launch, and America saying, yeah, we're going to cyber attack you, and you cyber attacked us, and this and that. This is not child's play that we're talking about here. This is serious life and death issues. This is serious to the point that the American people are so war weary, they're so fed up and disgusted with the lies, the corruption, the scandal, that they are ready to snap. So my warning to each and every one of the people out there, even if you do not live in America, my warning to you would be this. You need to literally get ready and buckle up for safety, because it's getting ready to... Everything that you've been warned about by all these conspiracy theorists out there, by all the different people out there, it isn't coming. It's here right now. This is Sunday, November 6th. There's 2 days till the election, apparently. The election is on the 8th. And whichever way it swings during the election, I foresee so many different potential problems that could occur within that short time frame that, you know, no matter which candidate is perceived to be elected, or which candidate steals the election, however it goes down, the American people have already been put in a position of doubt that they're getting a fair and honest election. And so, like the last podcast that I played there, the Tigers backed into a corner, and when the Tigers backed into the corner, if it can't go around you, he's going to go through you. And that's exactly what this corrupt government is about to do to the American people. Now, if for some reason they already put it out there that somebody already tried to assassinate Trump, all right? Whether it was a show, whether it was scripted or not, they already put it out there. It's already out there. So if indeed Trump is literally assassinated, or perceived to be assassinated, then the number of people who are voting for Trump being astronomical at this point will erupt into total chaos. If, on the other hand, the other candidate perceived to be running for president of the United States either is arrested or for some reason dies or whatever, for whatever ever possible scenario on either side of the spectrum, you, the people out there, need to be on your toes. You need to be so prepared, more so than in any other prior election, because we're standing on the precipice, literally, of a potential World War III scenario playing out. Now, I hope that everything I said is wrong. I hope that all the conspiracy things that I've ever watched in the past and all the things that have brought me to my decision of how I perceive this this situation going down, I hope that it's wrong. I hope that the election goes smoothly, no election fraud is noted, or even at that, if it's a small amount of election fraud that is quickly nipped in the bud, so to speak, or handled in a legal fashion in a fair manner, and the president, whichever one is chosen or selected or even stolen the election, a peaceful transition, if you understand what I'm trying to say. Because otherwise, the alternative is, and stage is set for no matter which candidate gets elected, that there is a potential that the president, that the standing president right now, could literally end up with a third term after all this is said and done. If for the national security or state of emergency being called because of a chaotic election, and this is used to implement a martial laws type scenario or whatever, then they would use that to give this man the power to stay in office past his allotted time span. And in that case, if that was the case, the American people, like I have said, have already been prepped for an explosion. They've already been prepped. They've already got they're riled up. The tiger is backed into the corner. You got the tiger in one corner, and you got the dragon in the other corner, and you got the sleeping giant right behind you. This is probably, as far as I can remember from any other election cycle that I've ever witnessed in the entire time of my voting lifespan, probably the most dangerous time I have ever witnessed in my life. So, not to try to sound like a fearmonger, with a little bit of words of wisdom, that if you don't pay attention to what is going on, if you don't document your vote, if you don't pay attention to your surroundings, you're liable to get caught in a situation unaware, in the wrong place at the wrong time, when this all basically implodes in on itself. Now, we know there are secret organizations out there that have been manipulating elections for decades. We know that there are government agencies that are rogue, that are run amok, corruption in the highest levels to the lowest levels, from everything from townships all the way up to city, state, and federal agencies that have done a lot of dirty deeds. But all this stuff combined in conjunction with one another have literally set the stage for what is about to occur within the next 2 days. There is no turning back at this point. At this point, the bus is already heading off the cliff. And now it is a case of brace for impact, keep your eyes peeled, and be ready for anything. You know, when they're talking about threats of nuclear conflict or even cyber attacking each other, you know, shutting people's power grids down or possibilities of terrorist attacks on this soil or that soil or whatever, you know, this isn't movie, folks. This isn't for your entertainment, thrills and chills and all that kind of stuff. This is the real deal. This means people actually die. It's not funny, and it's not something that either side wants, and it's not something that the average Joe wants. No, you got your occasional knucklehead out there that roots for chaos and wants the wants everything to fall apart, you know, total anarchy, and not in the good sense that some people believe anarchy to be, where you're not ruled by government. I'm talking about an every man for himself type free-for-all road warrior mentality, basically Jericho, the Jericho series on crack. Go watch the old series of Mad Max instead of the shows of Mad Max and Beyond Thunderdome, and see if you want to live in a world like that. Go watch the Jericho series and see if you want to live in a world like that. We're standing in the danger zone, folks. We are literally, without a shadow of a doubt, standing in the danger zone. These next 2 days are going to define the entire future history of humanity, literally. And if it isn't played out with some calmness and some cool head and common sense and that, then what we end up with is not going to be pretty. I can't stress this enough. Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. And if there was ever indeed a time to be vigilant, now is the time more than ever in the history of the United States, in the history of the world in general. This is the time when all these warnings that you've heard from all these different alternative medias and even the mainstream medias and the fears and the propaganda, this is it. We are standing here. The event is taking place right before our very eyes. So whether you believe the biblical version of the end times, or whether you believe the conspiratorial version of the Illuminati / secret societies, one world government, it's here. Whichever version you chose, it's here. We're getting ready to see the results of years worth of corruption, scandals, and craziness that has been gone on and propagandized to all the citizens of the world. It is at this time that you need to be more vigilant than you have ever been in your entire lifetime, and guard your family with everything that you've got. It is at this time right now that the cool heads need to prevail. I don't want to see a World War III type scenario. I don't want to see a Civil War type scenario. I don't want to see any bad come to any living soul on this planet. But the evil that's out there, the evil that you've witnessed throughout your entire life, the dirty deeds that have been done to small nations and what they classified as third world countries and so on and so forth, the evil is not knocking at the gate any longer. The evil is standing on your side of the fence. We have got to rally one another. We have got to protect one another. We have got to stand united like we have never stood before. It's not coming, folks. It's here. The next 2 days we'll decide whether all of this time and all this effort that we have put towards trying to bring the world together and make the world a better place is going to pay off or be all for nothing. This is the time where if you have the opportunity to get your act together, that you take that chance while you have it. If these are all actors on a stage and this is all portrayed just for our benefit, for our entertainment or whatever, if this turns out to be some sort of big ha-ha joke in the background, it's not funny. It's not funny to manipulate people's lives, to manipulate people's souls, and to manipulate people's hearts and minds. It's not funny. Because all these people out here who believe that they are fighting to preserve the American dream, to preserve freedom and hope and justice for all, they're on edge. They are ready right now to snap. The sleeping giant that you keep hearing about is not standing, not sitting on the edge of the bed. He's standing. The sleeping giant being the American people and the world in general are standing. And all eyes are on the mainstream media, all eyes are on the alternative media, all eyes are on all nations of the world. The decisions that we make today will define the world that we live in tomorrow. I pray to my God that these next 2 days go smoothly. I pray that the criminals are rounded up and sent off to jail where they belong. That all truths out there shall come to light and people will know where we stand. And that we can take this knowledge and we can move on into the future to create a peaceful future without the wars and the craziness. I believe in the heart of the many. We all have seen the hearts of the few. We've allowed representation out there that wasn't representation. We've allowed criminals to define our lives. We've allowed criminals to squander fortunes of the people, to allow death and destruction to run amok throughout this world. Whether it's all a dream or a fantasy, or we've all been psychologically backed into a corner, psychologically operated upon, I can't even physically, mentally pick out the right terminology to say what I'm trying to say, whether it was all mind control or craziness or propaganda that was intended on seeing how far that they could push the human psyche before they snapped. When you ask the question, when is enough enough? Within the next 2 days, you're actually literally going to get the answer. When enough is enough. You're actually in your lifetime going to be to literally see the end of all of what humanity could have been. I'm more than concerned. I'm more than frustrated. I'm more than fearful. So if that was their intent, to literally make me paranoid, schizophrenic, crazy, whatever, all the tinfoil hat wearing propaganda or whatever, all of that stuff combined, if it was literally meant to put me in a state of mind that is so beyond self-control, they have literally succeeded. And this is my last great attempt to fight back at the beast that is eating this world alive. It's not my place to judge the people of this world. But if I am indeed part of your family, if I am indeed part of the human race, and if I indeed have a voice that is just as equal as yours, this is my last plea to the world before we watch these events unfold before our very eyes. The best time to stop any war is before it ever even starts. Now, if these elected officials and unelected elites of the world, the money makers, money takers, or whatever you want to call them, if this is all a scheme to keep the power, to control the people, to psychologically mind screw every living child, man, woman of the earth in order to remain at the top, then it's now or never. It's now or never, because I don't know at this point in the game what to believe or not to believe when it comes down to who is working for us and who is working against us. Right now, I believe that the world is being played like a banjo. I believe that the world is being manipulated. I believe that the people are being shown a show and maneuvered to believe that they have achieved a victory. I honestly believe that we, the people of the world, are being set up. Take it how you want. Take it or leave it. These next couple days is gonna be put up or shut up days. Either all the fear mongers out there are gonna be proven to be wrong, and all the conspiracies are going to go by the wayside, and everything's gonna move along correctly, or all the red flags are going to come together waving in unison like an army of evil stampeding across this globe, or flat earth, whichever one you believe in, and literally mock we the people. Yeah, I would say now is the time to be concerned. Welcome, Thomas.
Hey.
Have you been listening in?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I haven't even gotten up. I just got up, man. Was I listening in on my while I was asleep? Did I have the computer turned up so that I could hear it while I was laying down and woke up the roommate the whole night?
Well,
those would be no's, so.
Just got through explaining to the world how the next couple days is going to be probably the most intense time of their life, the most dangerous time of their life, that they need to be more vigilant than they have ever been before in their entire lifetime, and the importance of this election cycle and common sense. Because what has been portrayed to us, regardless of who you choose for your elected representative, the American people are already standing on the edge, and if this goes one way or another, there's already been propaganda or truth, whichever. At this point in the game, I don't even have a clue of who's telling the truth or who's not telling the truth, but what I do know is that when Russia's talking about hacking America, America's talking about hacking Russia, and you got Russia saying that, wait, just remember we got our nukes on the launch pad, and America talking about retaliating, the news talking about all the scandals between this candidate and that candidate, and then you got the election fraud thrown in the mix, you got the all these different conspiracy theories / truth or fact or fiction or whatever. Mm-hmm. The American people and the people of the world in general have been exposed to this for so long and are so war-weary, and it's now come to a head to where we are literally standing on one toe on the edge of the great abyss, and one mistake right now could take this giant firecracker that the world is standing on and literally explode. It's as simple as that. When people go to the election polls, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for or who not to vote for. I'm not even going to suggest vote for Trump or vote for Hillary or whatever. I'm not going to do that because I have no idea. I have no idea which one is the truth and which one ain't. I have red flag signs. I mean, I studied all kinds of conspiracies and biblical stuff, and I see red flags from both sides of the fence. One side is corrupt, is all get out, and the other side, while he's sitting there making his speech, is throwing up the conspiratorial Illuminati sign, the 666, three times in a row. 1, 2, 3, right there, as he's talking about, you know, truth and justice in the American way. And so I'm thinking, whoa, hold on a second, you know, is there something to this or is there not? But you got to understand that whether you're a believer in a divine intervention or a faith of any kind, when you've been propagandized, whether it be through the mainstream media or the alternative media or conspiracy tinfoil hats or whatever, you've been showed this sign. You've been told there's a significance to this sign. Now, what I see going on would make me, if I was standing back and I was weighing out all the facts of everything that I have been propagandized to, psychologically manipulated into believing or whatever, is that they're going to use Hillary Clinton as a sacrificial goat / lamb. They're going to throw her under the bus. They're going to put this man up there as the candidate, and either he's either going to get elected or assassinated, and some dark horse is going to come rolling in to save the day, which may very well end up being the standing president of the United States right now, maintaining his power and the White House because of security issues or whatever. Any one of these scenarios could play out. And if I'm sitting here thinking of the potentials of the disaster that is going on, and you think about all these people out here who are rallied to vote for Trump, and you think about all the election fraud and all the scandals on the Democrat side, if one side gets elected, you know that it's going to be called voter fraud or whatever, and there is not going to be a peaceful transition between one candidate or the other. If one gets assassinated, all hell breaks loose. If one gets elected, all hell breaks loose. So the situation has been set up to what I can see, my point of view, and we'll find out within a couple of days of whether or not this was all a psychological operation just to scare the living crud out of the average Joe to see how far they could actually push them. We've already had supposedly an attempted assassination attempt on Trump, whether it was scripted, played out for the average Joe to witness and see this as a part of the moving your chess pieces into place, or whether it was a real deal. But regardless, it's been put on the table. All the scandals, all the corruption, everything has put ideas in people's mind who have made them believe certain things that they are basing their decisions on which candidate to vote for. And so if it comes down to anything contrary to what appears to be a free and fair election, this side of the fence is going to be furiated. This side of the fence is going to be ready to snap. The same thing on the opposite side. So what better way than to bring in a dark horse by either assassinating one candidate or the other, or one candidate gets arrested, and then for continuity of government, all the things that you've heard about in the conspiratorial world, whether it be the National Defense Authorization Act or the Patriot Act, all of these come into play, and now you have to, for continuity of government and for national security, leave the man standing in the White House who has been there for the last 8 years. Now, unless for some strange reason that one of the candidates gets arrested, and even the President of the United States that is standing right now gets arrested, and this other man gets elected, you see where I'm going here? I'm not trying to fearmonger anybody out there listening to this radio show. What I'm trying to do to you is put a warning in your head that whatever you choose, you need to be so incredibly over the top vigilant within the next 2 days, because they have already set the stage to make you believe that either World War III was on a precipice, or a terrorist attack was imminent, or a presidential assassination, or an attempt to do so, or all these different types of scenarios, everything from voter fraud to just utter complete corruption and scandal. The American people and the people of the world are so war-weary, so fed up, that this election cycle that, maybe some people on the other side of the world are ha-haing about, look, the Americans can't get their act together, and some people in the United States are probably doing the same thing. But understand this, that when this all falls apart, this is not just going to affect America. This is going to affect the world as a whole, because if it turns out to be an all-in-all-out thermonuclear conflict between the nuclear powers of the world, we're screwed. And if it turns out to be a civil war between the United States, if you look out there and you see everything from the petrodollar to the Brexit and all the different types of things going on in the money situation, you had all these things in conjunction, any deterioration from the standard of even the corruption. I mean, believe it or not, we're probably safer while all the corruption's going on than we would be if all this stuff was actually to come to light, which has been flowing in like a massive flood from things called WikiLeaks and propaganda from the left, propaganda from the right, propaganda from the alternative media to the mainstream media. The lies, the corruption, the craziness have taken a toll on not just the American people, but taken a toll on the people of the world in general. We're standing on the largest firecracker in the history of mankind. Right now, we're standing at the crossroads to decide whether or not we, the people, are going to keep a calm head and let justice prevail and be eternally vigilant from this point on, not repeating the mistakes of the past, or we're going to let these international bankers or secret societies or corrupt government officials all the way from the city level to the state to the federal and beyond. We got to get our act together. We got less than 2 days to do it. We need to be on top of our game. You need to have your cameras ready. You need to have your information ready. You need to have your eyes peeled. Bug out bags or whatever. Whatever makes you feel comfortable. But I'm telling you, folks, this is my warning to you. Calmness, common sense, and paying attention to what's going on, stepping back before you react and see what's true and what ain't true, is going to define the world that you see come day after election. I don't know what else to say, Thomas.
You understand the irony in the voice that sounds as non-calm, non-cool, telling everybody they have to be calm and cool to be able to survive this is, right?
Yeah, and I've already explained to everybody out there listening that right now, I'm literally a mess. I have watched all this stuff. I've listened to all the different evidence from both sides of the fence. I don't know who to trust, who not to trust. And if I feel this way, and millions of other people out there feel this way, and so much as the lights blink on election day, man, if they set out to psychologically mind screw every man, woman, and child on this planet to the extent that you're so paranoid and schizophrenic or whatever terminology you want to throw in there, that you're like, is there a terrorist behind the bush? Is there aliens coming down to suck out our brains or whatever? If this was their intent to do so, to put us in this state of mind, then this is the point right now where they're going to get their answer. How far can you push the American people? How far can you push the people of the world in general before they finally snap? I'm sitting here saying that I'm trying to hope for everybody to exercise common sense and calmness, and I'm hoping that I can maintain that same state of mind when it all hits the fan. I hope and I pray that three days from now, we can look back and we can listen to this podcast and laugh about how old crazy King Shaziz the Terrible was trying to warn the world of the impending doom of the apocalypse. I hope that I am so wrong on everything that I have said. I hope that we have a peaceful transition, that if there's any election fraud, that it's so minor and it's nipped in the bud and taken care of correctly and fairly with the law, and everything moves smoothly, and whether it's Hillary walking into the office or Trump walking into the office as business as usual, that everybody moves along in a peaceful manner, and that we work our differences out from that point on, because I'd rather see us under a corrupt government where everybody was dumbed down to believing, hey, all is well. You know, it's kind of like the guy who was in the Matrix and says, I don't want to know anymore, so when you put me back in, make sure I don't remember none of this.
Right.
That's...
Well, I've been saying it for many, many years, including since before the last election. Civil disobedience, man. If you want to fix the problem, start starving the beast. Stop worrying about trying to decide which dog gets into the office now, and just stop feeding it.
And I agree with you.
It will starve and die and go away.
And I agree with you.
Or at the very least, it'll get smaller and weaker, so it'll be easier to take down if it does have to be taken down. Let's hope it doesn't have to be. It'll just go on its way because it finds that there's a fatter meal somewhere else. But I
agree with you wholeheartedly, Thomas. I agree with you. You got to starve the beast. All I'm saying to people right now, you know, I don't know who's telling the truth. I don't know the difference between fact and fiction because I've been propagandized just like you and everybody else out there. We don't know the whole entire truth, but when that whole entire truth comes to light and people are where they're at right now, if they're anywhere even remotely in the state of mind that I'm in right now, mm-hmm. I'm so afraid of my family. I'm so afraid of the government and the people out there blowing their stack and putting us either into a World War III type scenario or a Civil War type scenario. I don't care about the whole terrorist attack thing out there. I believe that's part of the propaganda to make everybody be continuously afraid. But we do know there are knuckleheads out there who have crazy agendas that want to hurt us. I'm saying...
Well, you know, if our government turned on us and started shooting us with all those bullets that they were talking about they bought for the Border Guard?
Yep.
Homeland Patrol and all
office.
That? You know that there would be other countries that might decide to do what we've been doing to other countries and invade and try to liberate them, right?
Yeah.
So now they'd have to be fighting a front on two sides with all those bullets. So that'd probably be why they have eight times the amount of rounds or more than there are people in the country.
Yeah, but see, I can see it all. Every scenario that you can lay out, I can see it, and I agree with you 100%. I'm just saying to the people out there, man, come on, folks. Nobody needs to die in order to solve this issue, and we can't allow them folks to get us into a state of mind to where we're willing to kill, do our patriotic duty and go across the world and fight with our brothers and sisters in Russia or China. We need to stop this. We need to nip it in the bud, and the only way that we're going to do that is to not react the way that they expect us to react, and that's with violence. And I'm saying, it's coming. Look, evil's not standing at the gate. Evil is on our side of the fence right now. And we have an opportunity right now to either give justice a chance, let our voices be heard, and play this out in a peaceful manner to where the very last thing that the United States Constitution clearly states in the Second Amendment was that the Second Amendment wasn't there to protect us from burglars or anything like that. The Second Amendment was there for worst case scenario that our government got so large and out of control that we, the people, were so fed up that we would have the opportunity to, at the very least, defend ourselves against said government.
Yeah, it never said anything about big. It's just strictly tyrannical government.
Yeah, tyrannical.
That it's our right to overthrow a tyrannical government like we had already done with Britain. Well, as long as they don't turn into tyrants, they got nothing to fear.
That's what.
But the point was, they were supposed to recognize that being a patriot isn't being a patriot to the President of the United States or Congress or your local governor or whatever. Being a patriot is being a patriot to your neighbors.
Yep.
Being a patriot to the other people, the individuals, the we the people of the United States. And the second those people who are running things start acting and disconnecting themselves from the rest of the country, they're no longer part of the we the people.
I know that there
That makes you a traitor to the United States if you're no longer a we the people.
Yep. I know that in all these agencies out there, that I know some of which listen to our show frequently. I mean, we say keywords that I know that they're going to tune in. Yeah, we do that intentionally because we want your attention too. We know that there's good people in your agencies. We know that there are good people that are standing up for we the people. We know that there are people in there who take their jobs serious and they do it honorably according to their oath of office. We know this. It's the ones out there that you can't turn a blind eye to that are in your same agency that you can't allow them to do what is being done to this country. There is a term called destabilization of nations, and we know that this is being done whether internally or externally or a combination of both to the people. And what I'm trying to point out to all the people out there listening to this radio show right now, if I'm in the state of mind that I am, and I may be crazy, I may have some wild hair, I may be considered a tinfoil hat wearing nutcase, but if I personally are in the state of mind that I am right now, so fearful of my government and so fearful of my own fellow citizens of the United States and their reactions to certain incidents that could potentially occur within the next 2 days, if I am in that state of mind, and millions of other people in this world are in the same frame of mind, state of mind, or whatever you want to call it. We are standing there right now. The tiger's backed in that corner. The dragon's backed in that corner. And the sleeping giant is on his feet in that corner. And if there is no way to go around one another in a peaceful manner, then the only option that we have as we the people is to go right straight through you. Now, if you're a agent out there and you are honest about your oath of office and you are concerned about the security and the continuity of government and to protect this nation at all costs, then you need to hear the voice of this one crazy patriot out here saying that we've got to do this in the most peaceful manner in the history of time. because we're standing there on the edge of the biggest potential calamity that this world has ever seen. Now, if that sounds dramatic, and it sounds like, oh wow, he's all drama, and he's just trying to get more listeners or attention or whatever. Hear the words that I said. Rewind this podcast. Go back to the beginning of this podcast and listen to everything that was said from the time this thing started till the present time right now. If I feel the way that I do, I cannot be alone after being exposed to all the propaganda that I have been exposed to, whether it be the tinfoil hat guys over there, the alternative media, the mainstream media, the government in general, all this propaganda, all the different information that I have been exposed to led me to my decision the way that I feel right now. Y'all did this. You told us that there were terrorists behind every bush. You told us that Russia was wanting to attack us. You told us of all the scandals. You leaked the emails. You put it on the table to tell me that I needed to be concerned. You put it on the table to tell me that I need to be prepared and worried and stocked up. It was your psychological operation that put me in my state of mind. It was your actions out there that give me all the information to make the decisions to speak the words that I'm speaking right now. So if this is the game, if this is what you wanted, you have succeeded. You have pushed me as a human being to my limit. There's no further. There's no further place to push me. You wanted to know the limits of how far that you could push a human being. I am there. I am standing on the other side at the edge of insanity, and I don't know who's telling the truth. I don't know what to believe and what not to believe. Your psychological operation, your test to see how far that you could push me as an American citizen has successfully done the job. This is the result. This is what you get. This is a panic mode of an individual who has been told time and time again that our government is corrupt, that there's terrorists behind every bush, that doomsday's around the corner, that I need to have stocked up on food and money and gold and silver and all this kind of stuff. You did this to the people out there by your test to see how far, for continuity of government, what you could do to people to see how far that they would go before they snapped. You got crazies protesting on this side. You got crazies protesting on that side. You got people out there believing that the apocalypse is in their face. And then you're going to sit there and look at me like I'm nuts. Where did all this information come from? Where did the emails come from? Who was responsible for the scandals? Who was responsible for the propaganda? Who told the mainstream media to lie? That's my question. You wanted an answer to your question. I'm giving you the answer right now. This is how far you can push a human being before they snap. I'm on the edge. I am truly scared. I am truly paranoid. I'm fearful of my government. I'm fearful of the reaction of the American people. I'm fearful of all the different things that could come back to haunt me or harm my family. I will maintain my Second Amendment to the maximum potential that I am physically and financially capable of doing. And if you step foot on my ground, you can expect to put me in the grave or vice versa. That is the end result of your experiment to see how far that you can push the American people. I am ready to defend my family and my country with my life if necessary, if the next 2 days plays out the way that you have portrayed it to me and made me believe the decision that I had to speak the words that I have spoken today, and that's all I can say about it. Anybody got any comments?
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right.
Here I am, back in. Yep. Raymond, are you you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You just heard the craziest man on the planet finally snap. What do you think?
I think you're right.
They wanted an answer, Raymond. They wanted to know how far that they could push the people. This is it. This is how far.
Well, they had a perfect example of it in Fayetteville, North Carolina, just the other night.
What happened there?
The only time I've ever seen Obama do anything correct, they wouldn't let it. He was at a campaign for Hillary. There was a bunch of Hillary supporters there, and one veteran in uniform stood up with a Trump sign. And the people started booing him, and Obama kept telling them to calm down, be quiet. And he was doing it with a very respectful voice. And the thing is, he finally got ready to tell the people, look, the man is not doing anything except expressing his views.
And that's part of that whole situation that I was talking about. If you can't even go out and hold up a Trump sign without the fear of your fellow citizens violating your freedom of speech.
But the very people that he was trying to talk to support Hillary would not let him talk. And what he was trying to tell them is, be quiet. The man is only expressing his opinion. It's one man, one opinion. Let me finish my talk. And they would not let him finish. They totally lost complete control, as of all Hillary's supporters. They don't listen to reason.
That's right.
I mean, I have the only thing I've ever seen him do, or try to do, that people wouldn't let him do it finish. It gave me respect for the man, for that one.
Well,
but at the same time, the man was trying to calm the people down, and they would not calm down. That's your Hillary regime.
Well, that's a prime example of what I've been saying to the people on this show, is that you see the result of what went on there. You just described it in detail, exactly what was going on there. And you know, what I took away from that was that the people... Huh?
Yesterday I went to the polls to vote, and when I got up, after I voted, I got up, I turned to the crowd, and I said, I just voted for Trump. I not only don't care who knows it, I want everyone to know that I voted for Trump. And some young dude stood up, he had on ragged blue jeans and pink and yellow flip-flops, said, yeah, one day all you... Republicans are going to die off, and then we're going to have more liberals to vote. And I thought to myself, yeah, okay, when the Republicans die off and there's nothing but liberals left, who's going to work to make the money to buy you your free food stamps?
Yeah, who's going to pay taxes?
Exactly. If there's nothing but liberals left, who's going to pay the taxes?
It's going to be the wealthy, right? Because the wealthy love liberals.
Exactly. Because your Democrats that have the money are the politicians. Because they're stealing it from the people that want to work for a living. And giving it to the people that don't work for a living. So once the people that work for a living are all gone, who's going to be left for them to steal the money from?
Well, it's like this, man. Perception of circumstance is how people make their choices. And a lot of these folks out there who are Hillary supporters, you know, when they hear anything negative towards their potential candidate, they're automatically on the defense. Oh, no, it's just the other side trying to lie, you know, because politicians lie all the time. Never mind if there's any hardcore evidence such as, you know, copies of emails or proof of history, scandals, long list of crimes or whatever that have been covered up. None of that matters, because the only thing that they can think about is what they have to gain from whichever candidate comes in there. You see what I'm saying?
The emails, I just read a very long extended report where the judicial office is begging people to read. They have released some of these emails, a couple hundred of them, and they're begging people to read them and read into them the code words that are used. And they're used, code words that are used back from the Korean War. There are people that had worked in the decoding department of the Korean War and the Vietnam War that have read these emails and have spotted thousands of code words.
Well, like, for example, Justice Scalia, they used the word wetworks before Justice Scalia ended up supposedly dying of natural causes or suicide or whatever. You know, there's been a lot of people suicided around that family, you know. And when somebody gets shot in the back and it's accidental or suicide...
Oh, really? Okay. I got that one.
Yeah.
You get shot in the back, but that was suicide, right?
Yeah. You know, unless the guy was a guy or gal who got shot, died from lead poisoning, you know, was ambidextrous enough to be able to literally bend their arm backwards and point the gun at their back, you know. I'm not seeing that this is really a possibility, you know, and any kind of jerry-rigged kind of booby trap where they could back up, step on a button, and blow their back would still be there whenever the crime scene was investigated. But we're not seeing none of that. It was just like the dude got shot in the head by accident 30-some-odd times, you know. Really? Okay, yeah. Now I know that I'm not the brightest candle in the box, but I also realize that I'm not that stupid either.
Right.
Now, you know, like I said, whether this is all a big entertainment deal for our entertainment, you know, spy versus spy, you know, we're in some big simulation and this is all, you know, for our entertainment, you know, drama and intrigue and mystery and stuff or whatever. For whatever reason, we've been pushed all this information towards us to lead us down a road for making a decision or to see how far it will go before we snap. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that the people who are wanting Trump in office are serious. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that the people who want Hillary in office are serious. They're serious enough to go out there and commit election fraud and violence in order to get their point across. All right, so what do you think is going to happen when either the Trump crowd finally snaps because their candidate got assassinated or cheated out of an election, or vice versa, if their candidate doesn't get in even with election fraud or is arrested for crimes or treason or even dies of natural causes or some sort of scandalous assassination or whatever?
You know, you keep talking about the possibility of riots and so forth, but stop and think about this a minute. If the conservatives, the Republicans, die off, or just plain get tired and leave the country, and the liberals are left, and there's no money to buy food stamps or food, whatever, to give to these people that don't want to work, all they want to do is get back and suck off of society, but everybody in society, now that all the hardworking people are gone, there's nothing to suck. If there's going to be a riot, the chances are 85% it will be the liberals that started.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting all the free stuff they think they deserve.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the liberals.
Well, when you got a president of the United States who literally is asked a question from a undocumented immigrant that, you know, my people, you know, they're afraid to vote because they're afraid that if they go vote as a citizen that they will be basically sent to, you know, what's the word for doggone it, immigration?
INS.
No, they're sent home. What's the word I'm looking for? Deported. All right. So they're afraid, they're fearful that if they go vote that they're going to be deported. Now, instead of the president, who just heard somebody who say that they were undocumented and their undocumented friends want to vote, he should have been saying, well, you know, undocumented, I'm sorry, but you can't vote. That's not legal. No, he said that they ain't going to get deported for voting. It's a secret deal, you know. It's a sacred deal to vote as a citizen. When you vote, you're a citizen, you know. And so he just basically opened the gate for a whole bunch of people who are not citizens of this nation. And according to our laws in the United States of America, in order to vote, you have to meet certain standards, such as being an American citizen, in order to be able to participate in the elections of our nation. Now, you can go through the process of becoming a legalized resident / citizen of the United States and be able to vote just like everyone else. But the reason that is put into place is so that we can't have armies of people coming from every different corner, every border, and rushing in here and manipulating our elections to say who we are going to have represented us as president of the United States. So, essentially what he just did, which in my view is sheer treason. He's supposed to be there to serve and protect. The key word is protect the United States Constitution and the people. But he just opened the floodgates for all kinds of people who are undocumented or here illegally to go to the polls and vote for their candidate of choice. Now, who's the candidate of choice? While one hand Trump's talking about building a wall on the border to stop the illegal immigration, and on the other hand, they're talking about sanctuary cities and rites of passage or whatever to be able to, a gateway to become a citizen. Who do you think they're going to vote for? Seriously. If you got millions of undocumented immigrants in there steering the election towards the candidate of corruption, they're going to vote for the one who tells them that they're going to give them stuff. We're going to give you driver's license. We're going to give you citizenship. We're going to give you free food and medical care. We're going to give you all this stuff. They just came from nations that where their government don't give a damn about them at all. Now they hear a candidate saying, we're going to help you out. We're going to treat you like kings and queens over here in good old U.S. of A. Who you think they're going to vote for? Are they going to vote for the one that's going to do the job? Or are they going to vote for the one who promised them all the goodies? What do you guys think?
I think you hit the nail straight on the head, son. Straight on the head. It's ridiculous that you give somebody that's in this country illegally the right to vote.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, what the heck? If they come in here, they get a green card or even a visa. But they come here legally. And they're here for several years. And they're paying their taxes. They can prove they're paying their taxes. Then they should have some sort of say. I mean, after all, they're here working and they're paying their taxes. And okay, fine. But to be here illegally and have a say in our government? Come on, man.
That's right. And I'm saying,
absolutely ridiculous.
I'm saying this because of the state of mind that I'm in from all the information that's been presented to me. We're screwed. We are literally screwed.
A Democrat could possibly see that as a benefit because the Democrats are the ones stealing the money from the government. I mean, how does a man take a job for 4 years that pays less than $250,000 a year salary, wind up $300 to $400 million richer in just 4 years? How does that happen?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Why is all the politicians that come up out of there filthy, stinking rich, and the ones that who are trying to do the job end up being dirt poor or end up getting tied up in scandal?
Yeah.
You don't even have to do anything wrong if you're an honest congressman. All you have to do is try to do the right thing, and somebody will call you something bad, and now you got to defend yourself.
Right.
You're spending more time trying to defend your honor than you are trying to watch their corruption. And this is the game that the Democrats have been playing on the people forever and a day. Folks, look back in history. It was the Democrats that were a part of the Klan. All right? And now they're the supposedly champion of the minorities? Are you kidding me? Did they wake up one day and become... did they have some sort of revelation to make them want to be good to people? I'm just asking this because I have studied history. I have seen all the different things that went on throughout this country. You know, maybe the Republicans aren't the best choice. Maybe the Democrats aren't the best choice. But gather together in masses and vote in a third-party candidate, for Pete's sake. Anything's better than the status quo that we've been bombarded with all this time. We can't allow this to get out of control. We can't allow the American people to come brother against brother, nation against nation. We can't allow this. We can't afford any more wars. Mentally, physically, financially, psychologically, the American people are drained. So for all you alphabet soup agencies out there, the federal governments, CIA, NSA, DEA, or whatever, whichever one you're at, you wanted to know how far that you could push the human being, the citizens of the world, the citizens of the United States, how far that you could push them. This is your answer, right here, today, on the Knights of the Round Table. This is it. This is your answer. You have finally completed your mission to find out how far that you could push the citizens of the United States. I will indeed sacrifice my life to protect my family, to protect my nation from any kind of harm that comes from any kind of direction under any kind of badge or uniform or not. I will defend my home and my homeland with my life if necessary, utilizing the God-given rights of my safety and my family's safety and the constitutional rights of we the people in the Second Amendment. I will brandish arms against any enemy, foreign or domestic, to do just that. That is
just
how
that,
far.
Foreign or domestic.
You found exactly. It. You got your answer. That is how far you can push the American citizen.
What was the actual cause of the Revolutionary War?
Hard telling, because it depends on who wrote the book.
It was taxation without representation.
Yeah.
What was the actual cause of the Civil War in the United States? Taxation without representation.
Well, there's a whole lot of taxation without representation.
Of the Civil War. Taxation without representation.
I think that Thomas pointed something out that was quite brilliant here, and I just had it on the tip of my brain about the whole taxation, which was essentially that people, when they think about federal income tax or state income tax, they don't just factor in, they're just factoring in what you got to pay the actual government itself. They're not talking about, like, when you go to the store to buy products, or when you buy a motor vehicle and you go buy a home or any kind of anything of value, and then at the end of every year you get these bills from your local county governments that will tax you on things you've already paid for. You already paid sales tax on your car, but if you still own your car, it still has value, and they want money from whatever you own. So your taxation without representation has been magnified and skewed to such an extent that the average Joe could literally lose their own property that they paid for on the courthouse steps if you don't pay property taxes on a timely manner. They can literally seize your property, sell it on the courthouse step to somebody else who's willing to pay the back taxes. Now, anybody out there try to tell me that's justifiable?
Does anybody out there realize that because of our tax situation and programs, the way it's set up, every dime in the United States that actually exists goes through the government's hands 4.5 times a year?
and the government doesn't do a daggone thing to earn it.
Not to mention the Federal Reserve scandal. That is a big Ponzi scheme in the history of time.
Talk about scandal. That is, hypocrisy at its worst.
They print funny money, loan it to the government, who in turn gives it to us or loans it to us, who in turn turns around and pays interest. That's where the national debt comes from. People don't understand when they think about the national debt and being in the $20 trillion range. They don't understand that the majority of all this, what so-called national debt, is the doggone interest being paid through the Federal Reserve, which is not even a government agency. It's a privately owned facility that you can't even take your money to anymore to exchange for your value in silver or gold, for that matter. And people, you don't understand. You are literally being screwed. There's no nice way to say it.
Hey, that whole thing about not being able to take it back for gold and silver, you mean they won't peacefully give it to you? And most likely, if you went there violently as a mob and literally overthrew them and busted into the vaults they've been holding on to gold and silver for other countries even, the gold's probably not even there.
Yeah. It's probably
been lying
just
the whole time.
Building.
They literally would not let Germany look at more than one vault, and they weren't allowed to touch anything that was in it, and they had to wait for an extended period of time before they could even come and look at that vault before they got the vault ready for them to look at it. What does that tell you?
It tells you that something's not
right. They said they wanted their gold back, and the Federal Reserve said no. No, you can't have your gold back.
Yeah, that's like going to the bank and you have deposited your paycheck, going to the bank to make a withdrawal, and they say, well, no, we don't want you buying this or whatever. We're going to hold on to your money for a while for your best interest.
Yeah, we're not even in some sort of, they're not letting us know if there's some sort of state of emergency where they need to freeze bank accounts or something to stop a run on them.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
They keep trying to tell us everything's fine, everything's fine. It's like, well, if everything's fine, then why are you putting a freeze on Germany's gold?
Yeah, and here's the thing. At any given moment, because of the way the system's set up, they could come out tomorrow and say, we're on a different type of currency. The Federal Reserve notes are no longer good anymore. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you're standing there with a dollar bill in your hand that is totally worthless? You're going to get mad. You're going to get really mad because you can't go to the store and buy no food.
Hey, I only see that happening, though, if they not only succeed at taking over our government, but they also succeed at taking over the Federal Reserve. And those guys are pretty well hidden.
Well, something should be a red flag when the rats are abandoning ship and putting their money offshore. And buying themselves vacation homes in other countries and safer places, then it's almost as if they know that they're getting ready to push the American people to past their exploding point, and all heck is going to break loose, and everybody who was a congressman or a senator or a banker or a law enforcement or federal official is going to be a target. Now, doggone it, folks. You are the CIA out there listening to me right now? Is that what you really want? You wanted to see how far that you could push the American people. Is this the end game? Is this what you really seriously want? To bring this hell, this literal hell on earth to our shores and cause total chaos here, to bring about some sort of one world government or depopulation plan like all the conspiracy theories out there? Is this what you want? Because if this is the case, it's going to backfire so drastically in your face that you're not going to like the end results. The ends do not justify the means when you're talking about murdering millions of people. Nobody's going to stand there as you round up their family without putting up one hell of a fight, me included. Now, your mainstream media has told us that there are terrorists behind every bush, that the Russians want to get us, that the Chinese want to get us, that North Korea wants to get us. Your mainstream media told us all this. You told us we need to be alert. You said, see something, say something. Your agencies are the one who guided us down this path to where we stand right now at an election that is so mind-bogglingly insane. You got a candidate who we've been told has broke every single law under the sun, who is still, to this day, 2 days away from the actual casting of the vote, still running for office. You got another candidate out there who, according to the conspiratorial guys out there and the symbolism, is throwing up the sign of Satan, 666, one right after another. And you're wondering why the people are in the state of mind that they're in right now? You wanted to know how far you could push the human brain and the citizens? This is it. This is how far.
Actually, I've lived through quite a few elections, and I have never, in all my days, all my years of living in this country, I have never seen so many people choose so many sides so drastically and so strongly on both sides. I mean, it's like they're choosing up to have a big free-for-all.
That's it. The American people are being prepped for
they're
war.
They're actually choosing up sides. And if it don't come to physical blows, I will be surprised.
Yeah, we are literally being prepped.
I've never seen this strong before, ever.
We are literally being prepped for worst case scenario of being propaganda and craziness going on out here. We are literally being prepped for a civil war, a hostile takeover, or World War III, or some sort of calamity such as everybody and his brother out there, like you said, having a free-for-all in the middle of the street until somebody has to step in and say, hold on, everybody, that's not the way to go. Now, I'm sitting here, I'm watching it all unfold. And I'm on edge. I'm stressed. I'm fearful of the government. I'm fearful of the people. I'm fearful of the potentials of all this different stuff coming to a head and finally exploding. And I'm trying to say, hold the phone. Calm down. Let's look at this rationally. All right? There ain't no more rational. I'm not rational. I don't know who to trust. I don't trust my government. I don't trust the people. I don't trust anything about this entire scenario. Because you got tons and tons of good people on one side trying to do the right thing to make America great again and save the nation and do the patriotic thing going on. But are they being played? On the opposite side of the spectrum, you got another one who's been portrayed to be a crook and all this kind of stuff. The great deception is at hand. We are seeing it. Evil is not at the gate. It's standing on our side of the fence. And right now, you need to take Thomas Jefferson's word literally. You need to be vigilant. For your own safety, for the safety of the nation and continuity of government and all the things that made America great and freedom and justice and all this kind of stuff. Everything, the American dream, all of it in a nutshell. If people want to immigrate to America in the future, then you need to listen to me as well. Because there ain't gonna be no America. Within the next couple of days, we are standing on the potential of the second revolution. In the United States of America, we are standing on the potential of World War III thermonuclear conflict of biblical proportions. If that sounds dramatic, well, you can go back and you can find the CIA, the NSA, the DEA, and all the different organizations who fed me all the information that they fed me, the mainstream media, the alternative media, the conspiratory guys out there who fed all this information to put me in the state of mind to speak the words that I'm speaking right now. You wanted to know how far and what it would take to get an American citizen to snap. This is it. We're standing at the crossroads right now. You're going to go to the polls and you're going to decide which one of these candidates that you feel like you can trust. You're going to either feed this side of the beast or you're going to feed that side of the beast. Or if I'm wrong in everything that I have witnessed and everything that I've seen and been told and everything runs smoothly, then you're going to see a true change when you elect Donald Trump to presidency of the United States and you watch the corrupt individuals being strategically arrested and thrown in prison where they belong. I pray that that's the case. I pray that I'm just that crazy, wild-haired guy with a crazy opinion of what the world is out there in general, and that it all runs smoothly. Minor election fraud taken care of by the local authorities in a precise and honest and whatever manner to ensure justice, and that the votes are fairly counted, and that the people on both sides of the fence are going to be respectful of the winner and allow a peaceful transition between the presidency now to the next president in line, and everything goes on smooth, even if it's business as usual, and we've all been buffooned into believing that we won, as long as it comes out calm and nobody fights. That's what I want. All right? Because the alternative is this. I lock and load at my door. I shut my yard down as if I was standing inside a war zone and a bunker. And I defend my family against all enemies, foreign and domestic, with my life at stake.
You know, you just said a mouthful a minute ago. The only thing that's going to keep us from falling apart as a country, as a nation, is just what you said. Everybody, stop, take a deep breath, and calm down.
Yep. And that's what I got to say on the subject, folks. They wanted to know. That's my answer. That's how far you can push the citizen of the United States of America. I'm ready. I'm ready to do what it takes to preserve what I believe to be the United States of America and to protect my family against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And if I feel that way, and millions of others feel that way, then you as the non-believer and you as the believer should be praying or not praying to your prospective higher power for a peaceful transition in this 2016 election cycle.
Does anybody know where the polls stand right now?
Huh?
Does anybody know where the polls stand right now?
Well, if you can believe the polls, Donald Trump's skyrocketing.
Good.
If you can't believe the polls, then Hillary Clinton skyrocketed.
Right.
You know, that's what I say. All the information that's been presented to us, you got to take with a grain of salt. You got to step back and look at the big picture, because it isn't like we haven't been lied to before, folks.
You know, I don't know if there's very many or not, but if there's any people out there that are retired, drawing Social Security, you need to keep in mind it was during Obama's reign that they changed it to things, and they started referring to Social Security as an entitlement. It is not an entitlement. You worked, you paid into Social Security, you are owed that money.
That's right.
It is yours. And it is due to you. It is not entitlement.
And the promise that was made to you when that was done, and because of certain biblical beliefs that had, a lot of the evangelicals and people of faith had that the Social Security card number on there was never to be used as identification, but if you look at the modern day, the police ask you for it, the everywhere you go to try to buy, sell, or trade ask you for it. Your Social Security number is attached to your medical, your criminal, your educational. It's attached to everything under the sun, your driver's license, your birth certificate. It's your tracking number. It's your cattle number. And it wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be a savings account for whenever you worked hard throughout your entire life that you could actually collect a retirement fund when you were unable to work anymore or at retirement age.
If the federal government had not made it legal for welfare to borrow money from Social Security, your Social Security checks would be triple what they are today. The welfare was given the law by the federal government to borrow money from the Social Security. Now, how is welfare going to pay it back? They have no way to earn anything. They give everything that they steal from Social Security, they give it away.
Well, here's another really key point that people need to factor into the lifestyles of the American citizen. We were promised through Obamacare that affordable, good health care was on the way for those who couldn't afford it. They would be able to have health care and that kind of stuff. My child has needed to go to the doctor, but wouldn't go to the doctor because she had no access to health insurance. I know many people who don't go to the doctor because they don't have health insurance. And the ones who do end up getting so sick that they have to go to the doctor use a loophole in the law where they actually go to the emergency room where they cannot be denied care, but then in turn end up with thousands of dollars worth of bills in order to try to recoup the money through the system to the hospital. Now, folks, that isn't a better deal than what we had before. It's the same deal that we had before, but worse. Because now, because of healthcare costs, that bill that would have normally been a couple thousand dollars is multiples of couples of thousands of dollars.
Couple thousand? My first heart attack cost me $8,000 just for the hospital. I have no health insurance. I have never had health insurance. I paid the bill in full myself.
So that ought to be a red flag. My message, your message, Thomas's message ought to be a red flag for exactly... It's putting my case in perspective, all right? Basically, you need to be eternally vigilant. If you don't pay attention to history, like Raymond said so many times before... Say it again, Raymond.
He who does not study history is doomed to repeat it. And it's exactly what we're doing today. We are totally, absolutely on track repeating the history of the fall of Rome, one of the greatest empires ever built. And it was fell because of the politicians giving illegal immigrants the right to vote and then giving them free stuff, food, housing, and so forth, in order to get their vote. And the only way that the politicians could get this food and housing to give away was to steal it from the working class people.
Thomas, was it you that told me yesterday about the Queen saying something specific to the fact that the American experiment of self-governments had failed?
It hasn't failed yet. It's falling.
Thomas, are you there?
I think he went in the other room.
All right, well, I don't remember if it was Thomas or who actually said to it, but supposedly the Queen had said something about, you know, just write me in, and we'll go ahead and take control again, you know, because the American...
You always do that whenever I've stepped the furthest away from the computer and I've muted it, because the reason I've stepped so far away is to do something that's going to be noisy, and, you know...
Oh, well,
You know how you love to complain about air conditioners...
All I can see...
Chips and
all I can see is an icon picture.
Do that again, Thomas. Don't do that.
What's that?
All right.
I said, do that.
Did you hear the question about the Queen? Was it you?
Yes. I hear all.
right. Well, could you repeat what you said to me about what the Queen...
I don't remember what it was now. I just know that it went something to the effect of this 242-year experiment in self-governance has gone on long enough. Obviously, it failed. Just write me in on the next presidential thing, and Britain will reassume control of America.
Yeah. Now, isn't that? I don't even know how to respond.
Well, you have to remember, though, too, Britain is also the very same people that basically brought us the entire troupe of Monty Python.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
See, it's kind of hard. It's kind of with them being so stoical whenever they do throw some humor out there and keeping it as dry as they do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's kind of hard to tell whether they're joking or not.
Exactly. They do have a dry sense of humor, and it's done in such a way that sometimes you really don't know, are they joking or are they serious?
Right.
Which makes it really funny then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all I can say is once a man has tasted freedom, once you've lived inside the United States, and keep in mind, folks, that the United States is built up of a nation of immigrants from all different nations of the world. All right? Now, if this so-called experiment fails, do you ever think that anywhere in any other country that you will ever have a second opportunity to live in a land of the home of the free and the brave, to have such luxuries as the United States Constitution that guarantees you the right to freedom of speech, the right to keep and bear arms? Go to places like Australia, ask them how their gun control worked out for them. Go to places like China, ask them how much their government has done for them. Go to North Korea, see how the people live there. Go check any other nation out there, and even the Soviet Union, who is looking really good by now. I mean, I trust Putin more than I trust the man standing in the office at the White House. Well, what's that say about propaganda?
Oh, Lord, yes. Uh-huh.
Now, you wanted to know. To the CIA, to the NSA, to the DA, to all the different government agencies out there, secret societies and so on and so forth, y'all wanted to know how far you could push the American people before they snap. This is it. You are seeing the results of your experiment as right before your very eyes unfold in one citizen, one crazy-haired, mad science guy, old King Shazuz the Terrible, spewing out all the craziness that he does. You wanted to see it. This is it. The end result is this. I am scared. I'm scared for my nation. I'm fearful for the world. I'm in fear of my government. I'm in fear of the police. I'm in fear of the people. I'm in fear of everything that is on the outside of my property and my home. I'm in fear for my family. I'm in fear for my safety. And utilizing my rights under the United States Constitution that is boldly on top, we the people, I will utilize my Second Amendment to defend my family and my nation against all enemies, foreign and domestics, even if it cost me my life. That is how far you have pushed me. And if I feel that way, and the majority of the American people feel that way, and then you throw in the mix of all the nutcases in America, all the crackheads, all the street gangs, all the motorcycle gangs or whatever, the rednecks, the Klan, the skinheads, the Crips, the Bloods, throw all that in top of the American patriot and the military veteran, and you got a recipe for the source of a total and utterly chaotic free-for-all in the history of time. I don't care what badge you're wearing. I don't care what uniform you're wearing. I don't care what gang you're in. I don't care what terrorist organization you're with. If you come to my property and threaten my family or try to harm me or my family in any form or fashion, if you even look like you're getting ready to do it, I will utilize my constitutional right and my God-given right to protect myself with everything that I got. I will go down in a blaze of glory of biblical proportions. That is how far you can push the American citizen. And you can take that to the bank.
Hey, Raymond, you rethinking maybe going, not going to visit him in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Maybe we ought to hold off, give him a chance to calm down first.
Either that or get somebody a chance to choose that.
Oh, God.
Just bring me a cold beer.
He's inviting trouble.
Just bring me a cold beer because I'm ready. I'm ready to kick back and take a breath. That's how far.
The cold beer. We'll both get drunk. Hey, God, man. Let me tell you something. As far as riots go, I got a sneaky feeling. I mean, I'm not going to give a percentage, but I know it's over 50% that if Trump wins, and I'm pretty sure he will, it will be the liberals that start any riots.
Well, you may be right, but guess what? Whether it's the liberals or the conservatives,
realize that Trump is going to straighten this world, this country out.
I hope he does. I hope he's a man of his word. But hear this, people. It doesn't matter whether the riot starts on the conservative side or the liberal side. The United States government and the last couple presidents, two or three presidents, have put in the National Defense Authorization Act, they're all out there. Go ask any conspiracy theorist. They'll tell you about it. The Patriot Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, the doggone executive orders and all that kind of stuff have been placed in place for just such an emergency that a guy like Donald Trump gets elected and the liberals start a fight, or a gal like Hillary Clinton gets elected and the conservatives start a fight. They had the foresight to see that they were getting ready to screw over the American people, and they got the American people so psychologically wound up that they're talking just like I am right now.
Now, wait a minute. The thing is, the liberals will be the most likely to start any riots, because once you take something away from someone that you've already given it to them for free,
yeah,
and now suddenly you want to take it away from them, you've got a really angry, angry person on your hands.
Oh, yeah.
However, if you give back to someone what you took from them, then you've got a grateful person.
Well,
think about that a minute.
I think the issue isn't taking from people or giving to people. I think it's down to radicalization. You know, there are plenty of Muslims out there that will live right next door to you, will, you know, work at a fast food restaurant, they run a coffee shop, they'll sit down and talk with other people of different religions. They slowly adjust their views, and their religion has been evolving just like every other religion on the planet, because they've kept a calm head and took in new information and used that to adjust their truth, because now they know something they didn't know before. But you've still got those people cutting people's heads off.
Yeah.
And you still have a history as recent as basically not too long ago of people throwing Molotov cocktails at doctors because they don't agree with their medicine, because their Christian values tell them that it's wrong to do whatever it is, because they're still living in, you know, ancient biblical times. Whenever it comes to one or two scriptures, they focus on one or two scriptures and they exclude the rest. You know, it's let's open it up and just pick something that we like and let's go with that and let's forget the context around it. As well as the people like Shaziz, who would give their shirt on off the, you know, off their back to help you out and want to help feed the homeless and take care of people, and are willing to actually sit down and rationally hold a conversation with people of other religions just to learn something new. So there are, you know, radicals in every camp. It doesn't matter whether it's Trump or Hillary supporters or Bernie Sanders or this Johnson guy or that Jill, whatever her name is.
there are radicals in every group.
I agree.
And it will be the radicals, not the Republicans, not the Democrats. It's going to be the radicals on whatever side loses that starts a riot.
Radicals, right.
All I can say is if you can get a peaceful man like me pushed to the point of talking about violence, I want peace, hope, and love for this world. I don't want violence. I don't like confrontation. I don't like to fight. I like to stay in peaceful type scenarios. I want to go to a party where everybody wants to get along, not cry and fight. I want to go there, have fun, and smile, and enjoy each other's company. I want the people on Russia's soil to be able to live in safety and harmony. I want people in China to live in safety and harmony. I want those commercials about starving babies to not be commercials about starving babies, but triumph. Videos of triumph showing, look, we saved these people. They got food. They got shelter. We, the people, came together. We solved this issue. There is no homelessness in the world anymore. There is no starvation. The sickness we have under control. I want the people of the world to unite, not under some one world government or some one world religion, but a one world idea that we are all created equal or evolved equally, regardless. We all have human rights and we all need to be taken care of and good caretakers of one another. We don't need the wars. We don't need the propaganda. We don't need the corruption or the drama or the god-awful movies that they like to put out there for everybody to see, somebody blowing somebody else's brain away. What we need in this world is a one-world idea of peace, hope, and love. Something. Anything. Stepping forward towards a better world than what we have had to contend with. Drones striking nations and taking away a child's family, or allowing pirates of the world to run around and steal food from the mouths of the starving children and babies of the world, to sit there idly by while I'm living in my house, being able to eat my food and live fairly in comfort while there's some other person out there in misery, it breaks my heart. And so when you can take me from a point of feeling that good about the world, or feeling to that much love pouring from my heart for all the different souls, my brothers and sisters from all nations of the world, to a point of violence? Yeah, that's your answer. NSA, governments, or mainstream, or alternative media, that is your answer. That is how far that you can push the American citizen or the citizens of the world before they finally snap. I don't believe in murder. I don't believe in death. I don't believe that you can kill somebody, and it sickens me even when I see it portrayed in the movie of somebody taking a gun and shooting somebody and ending their life. That rips a hole in my soul and puts a visual in my mind that I just can't get out. And for somebody to think that because of their God or their religion can take a machete and chop off somebody's head, it sickens me. It sickens me to the core of my very soul that somebody thinks that they have that authority to literally steal what is not theirs to take. The life of a human being, which is more valuable than any gold that you can stack up to the highest of all heavens. When you take a man who believes that way and you propagandize him, and you tell him all the different information about the terrorists behind every bush, about people being drone-striked, about families in war zones, and little children who hate other nations because they killed their parents. When you show me videos of people abusing animals and children. When you take and you put a dagger after another dagger after another dagger in a heart the size of mine, there is a never-ending flow of love coming from this heart, and I have no idea whether it comes from divine intervention or just a crazy mind of a man who has felt the pain and sorrows of starvation and sickness and abuse in his lifetime. I know what it feels like. And I don't want anyone out there to ever feel the way or see the things that I have seen. I have seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see. And so when I shout these dramatic words, they're coming deep from my heart. They're coming from the worry in my soul that I see this world going down a bad path. And if I could be the president, if I could be the king, if I could stand up in front of the microphone and have everybody's ear for just a moment, just long enough to let them feel what I feel inside my heart. If I only had one opportunity and it was going to cost me my life to speak every bit of my heart to the people out there, you would understand the answer to your question. If you can push a man like me to the extent that I'm willing to stand up for my family and literally, potentially, take the life of another human being in defense of my nation, all enemies, foreign and domestic, then by God, if you could push me over the edge, there's people out there who are teetering in a lot less than I got to give. You can take that to the bank. We need to take a music break. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
That sounds like a good idea. Something uplifting.
I'm serious, folks. I'm serious. I am deadly serious. Listen to these words. All I need is a little bit of peace of mind. Boston sung about it. Stay tuned.
Thank you. what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble, no pleasure here on earth I found. No friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. It's fairly well, my only lover. I never expect to see you perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in some valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no more. But there is one promise grace that is given. I meet you on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
All eyes looking to Fez the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. I played that last song. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I played that last song because essentially that's what I feel like, that we're traveling down a road and we're flirting with disaster. For all those crime syndicates out there in the global elite of the world and people who, are steering our country basically, as far as I'm concerned, off the cliff into the great abyss, we're flirting with disaster, folks. And I talk about this all the time, that we the people have an opportunity to literally bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak, if we can just get our act together and figure some things out. There's no such thing as an energy crisis. We're surrounded in a sea of free energy. And all this other stuff that's going on in the world, people starving and the perception of, the lack of, we're standing on a planet, whether it be a flat plane or a globe or whatever, I don't care about all that. We're standing in the midst of all the resources necessary to take care of every single living person, animal and wildlife or whatever, the nature. We could work in perfect harmony with nature. We have the technology. We have the knowledge. And if, like some of the conspiracy theories think, that there were prior societies, even example Roman society, that they had the technology that everybody could live comfortably or whatever, But some groups of individuals corrupted that system and basically used it for their own means, for their own political or religious ideology or whatever. But if we could come to an understanding and some tolerance that the left always keeps talking about, tolerance, peace, hope, and love, that kind of stuff, reality and justice. Oh, see, this happens all the time. Oh, join call. I hate that. If we could all just come together and understand that together, working together, we could actually resolve issues. Clean, renewable energy, green energy, whatever you want to call it. That's one example of how we can make... Doggone it. Don't call me on the phone! Oh! You can tell I'm frustrated. You can tell I'm passionate. If we the people could just get our act together, keep rejecting my call. Thomas, you go ahead, just call me back. That's all there is to it. If we the people of this world could just get our act together, I got answers in the alternative energy section. There's other peoples out there with answers in the medical section. Political, any of the different, there's alternatives to all the different systems out there that are literally the beast that's eating people alive. The media right now is getting beat up by the alternative media. This is nuts. Alright, I'm just going to have to wait for them to call me back. Hopefully not on the phone. So, I'm frustrated. I'm literally frustrated. I'm aggravated, I'm worried, I'm concerned. Not just for my country and my family, but for yours as well. We've been told so many dark things and showed so many dark things for so long. If you got a heart and you really care about people and you really care about the state of the world and one another's safety and freedoms and sovereignty, then now's the time to literally be vigilant. Now's the time to take all the anger and the frustration and the heartache and focus it towards a common goal. Now's the time for all of you to stand up against the demons that are attacking all of us. I keep trying to call you back, Thomas. I keep trying to join the call. You guys are just going to have to call me back or something. I keep trying. It just keeps kicking me off. Try to call me back. If you're living in Russia and you're listening to my voice, if you're living in China, or Canada, Australia, Korea, anywhere in this world, if you're living in any other nation but the United States, and even if you're listening here in the United States, you tell your elected representatives that the American citizens don't want a war with Russia. We don't want a war with China. We don't want a war with anybody. Somehow or another, our elected officials decided upon themselves to go out and commit crimes against humanity, commit fraud and perjury and money laundering and whatever they could do to fatten their wallets. And if there's an outside entity or an inside entity that is deliberately destabilizing the United States to bring about some sort of one world government agenda, so, do I have you back now?
And now it's giving me an add button so I can actually add somebody.
I can hear you.
You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're live.
Okay, I'm going to try to add Raymond back into the call now.
All right. So, folks from all nations, hear my words. We, the people of the United States of America, have love in our heart for all nations and all people. Our elected officials don't always represent our best interest. We don't want war with Russia. We don't want war with China. We don't want war with our own brothers and sisters here in our own homeland. What we do want is a better world, just like you want. Peace, hope, and love, not under some one world banner, some one world religion, some crazy ideology. We just want a better life for everybody. We want the hungry to be fed. We want the homeless to be sheltered. We want the sick to be healed. We the people, the average Joes and Janes of the United States of America, we have enough love in our heart, enough charity, to try to give to those out there in need. What's going on out there in this world with between the corporations and the government officials who are on supposedly on our behalf under the guise of our banner, the American flag, committing atrocities, All you have to do is ask the average Joe, is this what you want? All right, hey, we're back again.
Listen, the Skype's being difficult and demanding that when I try to start the group call, we have to hang up the call between you and I, and you have to answer the call between the one that's coming in that's trying to call all the two of you at the same time. See what I mean?
Yeah, well, I've tried.
And you clicked on the answer and it just wouldn't answer?
Yeah, I clicked on join the call.
Might be time to reboot then.
I clicked on join the call. Let's hang this call up and I'm going to call this right now. You guys answer.
Alright, yeah, let's try that.
Alright, we're having Skype issues again. Imagine that.
You got me.
Alright, I got one of y'all. Okay, so now all we got to do is wait for Raymond to pick up.
Right. Well, you might have to add him. If it fails, you might have to add him again.
All right.
Try to call him again.
So anyway,
yeah, I'm worried there.
This Skype issue that we're having is interrupting my dialogue. So let me try this again, folks. I'm trying to put a message out to the people of all nations out there. Whatever nation you're listening in on, we need you to know, we the people need you to know that we're not in agreement with the way that our government has been portraying America. We're fighting the same beast that you're fighting. We're fighting for our lives, we're fighting for our sovereignty, we're fighting for our freedom. We're fighting for our families. We just want to live in peace. And we don't want war. We are war weary. I'm trying to add Raymond, but this isn't working. He's not even showing up my list because he's already in the call. We'll just have to keep going. To the people of America, we really, really got to take this serious. For whatever purpose, we've been told a lot of things, some of which may not even be true. Some of which may be propaganda or maybe lies, just flat out deceit. And it's hard to weed through all that. It's going to be one bumpy road for the next couple days through this unprecedentedly crazy election cycle. We're definitely going to see some interesting times.
This is Raymond. Join the call. You there?
I'm here.
All right. Thank God we got that sorted. And so, let me finish my message. Go out and vote for who you want to vote for in this election cycle. Vote your conscience, vote your heart, but remember to remain eternally vigilant from this point on. And remember to hold those who gave you the promises that they gave during their campaign accountable for those promises. When a man or woman takes the oath of office and promises to serve and protect, then you need to hold them accountable as a servant and a protector. And as far as the citizen and the responsibility of being a citizen, if you live within the United States, is that you get you a copy of that United States Constitution and you stick it to your wall. and you read it every once in a while, and you remember, you memorize those rights that were given to you, not by people, but of your Creator. Your rights to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness and justice. Your rights to defense. And you hold those that you send to office accountable. And you be the good caretakers that you can be for one another, of your neighbors and your friends and your family. Raymond says charity starts at home. I agree. It starts in the house. It starts in your own nation. You take care of your nation first. Feed your people. And if we the people are over here doing the same and we see that you're struggling, you ask the American citizens and we'll come and help. One thing about the people that I have witnessed throughout my entire life, that when the chips are really down, you can weed real quickly through the good guys and the bad guys by those who are sacrificing and risking their own safety to help somebody else. And the charitable giving is unprecedented on a biblical scale when it comes down to people who will give and send whatever they can in the direction where it is needed. If we have the power to literally amass large armies to go over and fight with foreign nations and create unprecedented destruction, unlike anything in the history of time, not the Civil War kind of war, not the Revolutionary War kind of war, we're talking about massive ecological and financial and physically and mentally devastating war with modern technology than you can imagine. We don't need a thermonuclear war on this earth. We don't need a second civil war in the United States. And you don't need it in your country as well. The opportunity and the choices all lay in the hands of we the people from all nations. I don't know what more to say that hasn't already been said. Please listen to this podcast. Please rebroadcast this podcast. I'm going to put this particular podcast on the heavy rotation on the Auto DJ in hopes that it will continue to be played. And people who haven't heard this podcast will have an opportunity to hear the words that were said on this show. And if you believe in those words, and you can pass the words on out there, if you can get that warning into the minds of the people to where when things go awry in the election, preferably they go smoothly and nothing occurs. And I just seem like somebody who panicked after being fed a lot of crazy information. I hope that's the case. But you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see the state of mind when you can hear the words coming out of a man who is normally peaceful, who has the only intentions for peace, hope, and love to be spread across his land, literally talks about standing up and bearing arms against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So with that said, Raymond, do you got any thoughts?
No, I think we just about covered most of it. Except that I do agree with you on telling people, get out and vote. I don't care who you vote for. I do care, really. But if you vote for Hillary, fine. If you need a ride to the voting polls, call me. You know, the thing is, vote. And don't be so secretive about it. Let people know who you're voting for. Tell them why. Did you really study? Do you know? Did you learn anything? Do you know who you're voting for and what they're going to actually do? Forget all the promises, all the bullcrap. What are they actually going to do? What have they done in the past? Okay? No, go.
Just remember that if it doesn't go your way or my way, that we remain calm and not give them the results that they expected for us to blow our stack and bring about utter chaos.
Right.
They got the tools. They got the technology. They put the laws into place. And like my favorite video out there where the Star Wars guy is shouting, "It's a trap." I feel like it's a trap. I feel like the people of the world are being played and manipulated into reacting a certain way. Thomas, you got anything to say on the matter?
No, we've already covered more than enough. I say we get back to actually doing some work and stop worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, because you can't control what's going to happen tomorrow. You can only control what happens today.
Well, you can control how you react to whatever does happen tomorrow. That was the key to this message. Whatever happens...
Say that what the actual events themselves, though, you can't really control them. You can only control today, you know? What you do today, though, will determine what happens tomorrow.
That's right.
You know? So let's just get busy doing something to get things straightened out.
I like your idea. Let's get to work and until it's all over, let's try to do everything we can to push in this world in the right direction and getting things accomplished. We've been propagandized. We've been told all kinds of things. There's a potential terrorist behind every bush, so on and so forth. You've heard it all from the shock jocks to the conspiracy, from the mainstream media, from the government itself. We've heard every bit of what we've heard. And so, you know, with that said, now's the time. Now more than ever.
Stand up and be counted.
That's right. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table, folks. It's been a passionate show. It's been an important show.
I think everybody out there knows who we're voting for. But
yeah.
Again, if you won't want to vote for Hillary, do so. But do it through conviction.
I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils, and I'm going to vote for Trump. That's who I'm going to vote for. I'm giving my endorsement. That's who I am personally voting for, because I don't know. And I'm hoping that he is a man of his word and that he does work towards making things right and that he does work for justice or whatever. But we've been told many lies and many different candidates, pretty much no more taxes and so on and so forth. We've heard it all before. What I'm hoping for is that this man does what he says he's going to do and is not some sort of black horse riding in to save the day who's going to turn around and bite the people like an alligator when it's all said and done. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. I have no idea at this point. All I can do is base my decision on whether I want a hardcore criminal proven or a slightly off the mainstream point of view kind of, I don't know. I just honestly do not know. But there's no other candidates presented. It may all be a sham from the get-go, but at least my voice is going to be heard with my vote. And when all heck breaks loose, I can say that I did. I voted. I voted with the information presented to me with an educational... I did my research. And I pulled the lever for the guy that I thought was going to be the best for the situation at hand. and God help me if I'm wrong, but the alternative is this. He lies, gets in there and does his dirty deeds, business as usual, or the alternative candidate gets in there, election stolen. Either way, the American people are they're done. They're fed up. They're just the straw that broke the camel's back is already laying on the floor. I hope for peace, hope, and love, and that's all I ever cared about. I hope for a better world for your children and my children. I hope for common sense to rule the day. I hope that everyone hears these words. I hope that leaders of all nations and all the different government agencies out there know my intentions for saying the words that I said. That I want wisdom. I want peace, hope, and love. And freedom to reign supreme. I want everybody out there who needs to have get what's required to make them able to live comfortably, healthy, and in safety the rest of their life. I'm tired of the doomsday.
Tall order.
Yeah. This is where we stand, brother. But you got to remember where that message came from. You got to remember, they're the ones that told us that there was a terrorist behind every bush. They're the ones that told us that Russia wants to get us, and China wants to get us, and everybody wants to get us. Everybody's out to get us, and this guy and that gal's corrupt, and so on and so forth. They're the ones that put the information on the table that we have discussed here on the Knights of the Round Table. And my solution, my offer for a solution, is to use common sense and wisdom and vigilance to step forward from this point on and to do in your heart what needs to be done to rectify the situation before the bombs fly, before the bullets fly, before chaos is in our streets of every nation on this planet. We can fix this thing if we the people stand up and do the right thing. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love. Everybody take care.
Woman! Man! Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't...
Camelot.
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 It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights to the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights to the round table, our shows are more mid table. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We'll rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All those who are king, Shazir the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.